From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. There are about 700,000 active podcasts available to anyone with a computer or a smartphone in more than 100 languages. And people do listen at the rate of 62 million people per week in the U.S. alone. What makes a good podcast, and what do podcasts provide that is different from broadcast media? We pose those questions to WIPR original podcasters Aaron Henkin, creator of Out of the Blocks, and the makers of Truth and Reconciliation, Taya Graham and Sienna Greaves.
The podcasting platform provides perspective. Perspective for the listening audience, and it provides agency for creators. You don't really need much beyond curiosity and a microphone to go out and create a podcast.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Podcast, the method of accessing an audio program online or downloading the file for use at the listener's convenience, has been around since 2005, but the concept really took off in 2014 with the first season of the podcast Serial. Since then, podcasting has truly blossomed, and listeners can find hundreds of creatively produced shows on almost any topic, no matter how niche. WIPR is home to several original podcasts as well, and today we'll meet some of the hosts and producers. Later, we'll hear from Aaron Henkin, producer of the podcast Out of the Blocks. This Friday, May 17th, Aaron will be in conversation with Serial creator Sarah Koenig at the Maryland Hall for the Creative Arts in Annapolis. WIPR is an underwriter of that event. Joining us now are two of the creators of Truth and Reconciliation, a podcast that takes a deep look into the challenges of law enforcement practices and reforms in Baltimore. It was just named Baltimore's best podcast by the Baltimore Sun. Sienna Greaves is Truth and Reconciliation producer and engineer and also produces WIPR's Midday. Hey, Sienna.
Hey, Sheila. How are you?
Also here is co-host Taya Graham, a reporter for the Real News Network and for the Afro-American newspaper. Welcome, Taya.
Thank you so much for having me.
Author and Real News Network reporter Stephen Janis and Sean Yose, Baltimore editor of the Afro-American newspaper, are also co-hosts of the podcast. So both of you, tell me, why did you start the podcast Truth and Reconciliation?
Well, I think we first started talking about the podcast Truth and Reconciliation when we were looking at the Gun Trace Task Force. We were reporting on them, and at the time it was about seven officers who had been indicted for robbing residents, drug dealing, stealing overtime, etc. And we came across a young man named Ivan Potts who had been in prison for 2.5 years after having a gun planted on him. He had been falsely arrested and falsely imprisoned. And we started talking to him, and we realized the impact on his life didn't just stop on the day he was released from prison. We saw how difficult it was for him to get a job. We saw how difficult it was for him to reconnect to his family. And we realized that once someone's released from prison, we're not following through to see if they're being restored. And that's why we thought about the truth, telling the truth of what happens to people when they're falsely incarcerated, and then to have some sort of reconciliation or restoration. And that's where we got the idea.
Sienna, why a podcast to do
well,
like that?
Well, I like the idea of, I was very fortunate, Taya, Stephen, and Sean, I think I was getting coffee one day, and I had walked by the conference room, and I saw the three of them sitting and speaking with Aaron Henkin and our programming producer. I'm really, really familiar with the kind of journalism that they have done with the Afro, with the Real News Network, and also with the Baltimore Examiner. So for me, the opportunity to work with three veteran journalists who really have a strong track record of telling stories of community members and highlighting issues that are often ignored in mainstream media in Baltimore, I just jumped at the chance.
Taya, how do you choose the topic for each episode?
Well, the way we choose a topic is that Stephen and Sean and I have a discussion about some of the most important stories of the week, but we do have to fit them into the larger context. The larger context is we're looking for people who have received injustice from our justice system. We're looking for people who need a chance to tell their story so that they can begin to be restored. There are so many people in Baltimore City who have been absolutely devastated by being placed in jail, by being placed in prison. They lose their housing, they lose their jobs, they even sometimes lose their family. And what we wanted to do was take a deep dive into what happens to someone when they're processed through our criminal justice system, and in particular, what happens when they're processed and they're not guilty.
Okay, but how do you keep it from being the same story? In other words, how do you find the examples of what you just described?
Well, you think it might be hard to find those examples, but they're actually plentiful in Baltimore. There are so many different people from a variety of walks of life, actually, that have been impacted by our criminal justice system. I talked about the most recent person we spoke to, Ivan Potts, but right now we're interviewing a Black business owner named Sean Weston, who's had his little bodega or little variety store raided over 13 times by the Baltimore City Police Department until he actually had to file a lawsuit and get a restraining order against the Baltimore City Police Department. So this type of over-policing affects a lot of Baltimore residents.
And the community of Baltimore is very diverse, and a lot of these narratives are incredibly diverse. And I think when we're talking about how the justice system impacts our communities, I think the Hidden Victim series was a really, really great example of the impact that the justice system has, not just on the victims, but their families and the greater community, is something that we definitely try and highlight. And I think we do really, really, really well.
Tell me more about the Hidden Victims series.
Certainly. The Hidden Victims series is near and dear to my heart because it gave me an opportunity to speak with Black women and their families and how the criminal justice system has affected them. We spoke with Greta Carter, who saw her 14-year-old son shot in front of her in her kitchen. The young man was unarmed, and what that does to a mother as she tries to move forward with her life. We spoke with Tiara McCleary, who's the daughter of Tyra McCleary, who was found in an alley, partially disrobed, covered in mulch, with a trash bag around her ankles, and that death was ruled undetermined. Her family believes that there was foul play, and all they're asking for is some further investigation, but because it's been placed in this category of undetermined, the Baltimore City Police Department isn't really under any obligation to investigate further. So in the Hidden Victims series, we're not just looking at people who are the direct victims of crime, but we're looking on how it impacts their families and what kind of legacy it leaves for the community.
What goes into the research?
Well, in my case, a lot of times it's building up a relationship with the person. Very often we're asking someone to talk about the most traumatic day in their life. And so often we have to build a relationship with someone. It can take a few months. There are people who I've spoken with for an entire year before they're ready to either come on camera or come on the microphone and talk about what was the worst day of their lives.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Truth and Reconciliation host Taya Graham and Sienna Greaves, producer and engineer. This clip is from your latest episode, The Human Misery That Occurs When Baltimore Police Don't Take a Knee. Give us an overview before we hear the clip.
So what we're going to be hearing are statements of probable cause. And a statement of probable cause is when a police officer writes down their report and describes the situation. These particular statements of probable cause we're looking at are about from 2006 to 2009. And what they show is what zero tolerance policing is.
Let's listen.
On the 20th of September 2009, at approximately 1240 hours, I observed a Black female, later identified as Ms. J, sitting on the vacant steps at 609 Monroe Street. This property is clearly posted, no trespassing. Due to the high volume of CDS calls in the area, Ms. J was not able to give a reason to why she was in the area. Ms. J was arrested for trespassing.
On September 30th, 2009, at 18:30 hours, while doing routine bike patrol in the 400 block of Marion Street, I observed Mr. X urinating in the alleyway. Mr. X was placed under arrest and transported to CBDF for processing.
On 9/30/2009, at approximately 18:50 hours, the defendant was observed in front of the liquor store, located in the 100 block of North Utah Street, drinking from a 24-ounce can of Bud Ice beer. Same was arrested, transported to CBIF, and charged accordingly.
Sienna, the reading of the police reports in this podcast goes on for several minutes. Why did you choose to include those in the podcast?
Well, this is something that Stephen and Taya actually decided to include, and I was a little unsure of how it would work.
Yes.
I felt that it was just maybe a little bit too stiff and maybe a little too dry. Maybe some of the language would be hard for our audience to glom onto. But something that I think we do really well on this podcast is using audio design to make every story unique, to make every story really, really interesting. Layering music, layering clips, layering just lots of different audio elements that I think enrich every story we tell. I was really, I don't want to say surprised, but I was a little surprised at just how powerful reading from a police report could be.
And I have to say, I was definitely determined to keep the police reports in full, perhaps despite better advice from Sienna. But one of the reasons why I wanted to was to allow people to hear for themselves what these statements of probable cause were, so they could listen and decide for themselves, does this sound like a fair use of police powers? This way, it's not me telling a story, or it's not someone who sounds very empathetic telling you the story. This is black on white. These are the words the officers wrote. It's up to you to decide whether or not you think this officer used his power fairly. I thought that was really important to get across.
Sienna, what do you think the podcasting platform provides for an audience?
The podcasting platform provides perspective. It provides perspective for the listening audience, and it provides agency for creators. You don't really need much beyond curiosity and a microphone to go out and create a podcast. We have so many different, there are so many different perspectives, whether you're talking about policing, whether you're talking about the arts, and not as many media outlets for these stories to be told.
I think Sienna makes an excellent point. And one of the reasons in particular I enjoy the podcast is because it allows us to dig into a story in a way that you can't do in a print story if you're allotted a certain amount of space, or you can't do in a video piece. If you're, you know, if you have a minute 30 to get your story out, that doesn't give you a lot of time to give it depth. But in a podcast form, it seems that our audience is willing to work with us, and they will go with us on a 30-minute journey to do a deep dive into a story. If we provide them the proper narrative, if we give them the sound, if we give them the type of sound design and things like that that Sienna and Stephen can provide for us, they'll stay with us and they'll go with us on this journey. And for me, it's like we're creating almost a historical archive of what's been happening in Baltimore City in the hopes that it won't be repeated again.
What will the next episode focus on?
Well, what we're taking a look at is what happened when Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby tried to change the law to vacate wrongful convictions. She essentially is trying to give prosecutors more power.
This is for marijuana possession.
For marijuana possession, as well as for people who had been unjustly arrested by members of the Gun Trace Task Force, because there were thousands of cases that had been tainted by the fact that these officers were involved. And because they're no longer considered credible witnesses, these cases need to be vacated and in some cases retried. So she was essentially trying to get more power for the prosecutor to be able to vacate these convictions. And the pushback in Annapolis was pretty amazing, actually.
And when will this episode drop?
This episode will be available today, the 15th.
I appreciate you both telling us about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheila.
That's Truth and Reconciliation, producer and engineer Sienna Greaves and host Taya Graham. You can find the podcast at WIPR.org/podcastcentral or wherever you access your podcasts. The next episode will be available this week. After the break, we'll talk with Out of the Blocks producer Aaron Henkin. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on The Record.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about podcasts. the entertainment medium that about 62 million Americans a week consume. Earlier, we spoke with two creators of the original WIPR podcast, Truth and Reconciliation, Sienna Greaves and Taya Graham. Joining us now is Aaron Henkin, producer of WIPR's Out of the Blocks. It's described as a mosaic of voices and soundscapes from the streets of Baltimore. Wendell Patrick creates musical scores for each episode. The awards that Out of the Blocks has won include the Radio Television Digital News Association's 2018 National Edward R. Murrow Award in the News Documentary category. Aaron, thanks for joining us on the record.
Thank you, Sheila Cast. Good to be on your show.
What is the Out of the Blocks podcast about?
Well, that varies a lot from episode to episode because the premise is so randomizing. You can actually describe the podcast in like four words. One block, everybody's story. We go to one city block and we just post up and we make it our mission to meet everybody on the block. And we just hope and trust. We take this leap of faith that everyone's got a story worth hearing. And then we're off to the races.
Which is a radically simple idea, just asking people their story. Tell us how you got the idea to start it.
Well, it was one of those light bulb moments that was many years in the making. Here on WIPR, we had a cultural show, The Signal, many years ago that I did with co-producer Lisa Morgan. And we would interview artists and authors and musicians and sort of the usual suspects in the cultural scene. But I actually got much more interested in just finding people who had unusual jobs that give them weird perspectives on the world. And so I got really focused on reading the yellow pages cover to cover.
There were yellow pages.
Back when there were yellow pages, yes. Younger listeners, that's a book that had everyone's phone number listed in it. Every business, and it was listed by business type. So you'd go through alphabetically and you'd find like, auctioneers, automobile wreckers, and you'd find all these people who do these odd, unusual jobs, and of course their phone numbers are in there. So, and it just kind of became this quest for me to look for stories that I didn't know existed. And so eventually we came upon this idea of like, well, what if I went to one block and just made it my mission to meet everyone? Like, what a great excuse to wander into the lives of perfect strangers.
How do you decide which block?
Well, there is no formula. If you go in my office, you see there's a map of Baltimore with lots of thumbtacks in it all over the city. And those are all different blocks that I've either, we've been on or that we're planning to be on. And so we try and spread out geographically around Baltimore. We like to pick blocks that are hidden in plain sight, that are just kind of like backbone of Baltimore blocks that are not celebrated per se, that you may just sort of drive by without even realizing you've just driven by, but that maybe have a lot of mom and pop shops, just a lot of public life on the sidewalks that have this kind of like, I think the sociologist Joan Jacobs called it the urban ballet, of daily life on the street. And then once you pick a block, your curatorial power is done because the game is on and you need to meet everybody on the block.
Urban ballet, is that why you thought to include music? Why you pulled Wendell Patrick in?
Well, I had interviewed Wendell previously, and just loved his music, and it was always in the back of my mind. He made great instrumental tracks, and I asked him when I was getting ready to make the first episode if I could borrow some of his tracks. And he said, tell me more about this idea. And I did, and he said, well, that sounds really like an interesting creative prospect for me. What if I created an original musical score? Which is
I said,
yes, sir. That sounds, that's like asking someone if you can borrow their used car. And they say like, well, let me just instead like build you a Ferrari from scratch.
This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Aaron Henkin, creator of the award-winning Out of the Blocks podcast. We're talking about what goes into making it. Full disclosure, listeners, Aaron knows the clip we're about to play. So Aaron, set it up for us.
So this is a clip from the 1900 block of Pennsylvania Avenue. It's from inside a little convenience store on that block. And there's a young woman who works behind the counter there named Erica Ellis.
I'm a light-skinned person. My mother abandoned me when I was 6 months old. She left me on my father's steps. So my grandmother and my father, they raised me. So I was pretty much raised by white people. Black kids calling me little white girl, white kids calling me little girl. Yeah, it happens. I had to get used to both of them. Like, I'm not neither one of you, but I'm both of you at the same time. So, yeah. So I'm just going to be a light skin until I die. I hate white.
How do you think it impacted you to grow up without a mom?
I'm real strong. You can't help it if you was born in a tornado. You gotta have to learn how to fly, or you're just gonna get sucked up. It's simple.
I think everyone who listens, and certainly every journalist, wants to know, how do you get strangers to open up and tell such personal stories?
Well, one of the things that makes Out of the Blocks unique is that I actually spend a lot of time on the blocks getting to know people before we record, and letting people get to know me. There's this idea that I feel like my first job when I show up on a block is to share who I am, share the philosophy of this show, let people get comfortable with me before I can presume to start asking them about themselves. And, you know, you build this rapport, and it just takes time, and also lots of recording. You know, I'll record with someone for 45 minutes or an hour, and what you'll end up hearing is maybe 3-4 minutes. So that, you know, that gives you an opportunity to go in all sorts of different directions with somebody.
How often, after you've shown up on a block, does someone refuse you?
All the time. I'm very used to rejection.
How do you handle it?
Well, not everybody's into this idea, and people, you know, there's like a natural spectrum of skepticism on any given block. It's like that in any group of people. And some people, when you meet them the first time, they'll share their entire life story with you, and some people will keep you at arm's length. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I've been around for a while, those people who were initially skeptical will kind of come around because they'll have seen me interview everybody else and all their neighbors and, you know. But sometimes people just are distrustful, skeptical for whatever reason, and that's their prerogative. It never does cease to amaze me, though, how many people are really interested and willing and able and eager to share their lives. I think it can be a really interesting, unusual, validating experience for folks.
Let me ask you what I asked Sienna Greaves and Taya Graham earlier. What do you think the podcasting platform provides for listeners?
Oh, it provides so much new power and control over, you know, what you... I mean, you think about what a game changer Netflix was, or Video on Demand, or HBO Go, or all these platforms where you go and have this menu of options ripped from the time-space continuum, and you can listen to them when you want, you can or watch them as many as you want. You can, you know, binge listening is now a thing thanks to podcasts, and podcasts are created to be binge-worthy. I mean, the technology actually existed long before the cultural appetite for podcasts, and it wasn't until, you know, some breakout moments like with Sarah Koenig and Serial that people realized, like, oh, this is something I can wrap my mind around, something I can get into. And it's an interesting challenge for us radio people to think about, you know, where does that leave us? And, you know, it's interesting to some people in the radio world, they speak with trepidation about podcasts and, you know, oh, people are listening to podcasts instead of the radio. I know you just spoke with Sienna and the crew from Truth and Reconciliation earlier this hour. I mean, that's not on our airwaves. That's a WYPR podcast, and it's just been acknowledged as the best in Baltimore.
Out of the Blocks has been both a broadcast and a podcast.
Yeah.
Is there more freedom as a podcast?
Well, it's actually way more of a grind doing a podcast, because when you're a radio special, you can put one on, you know, sort of once every 8 weeks, and it's a special event. When it's a podcast, you know, they tell you consistency. We put an episode out every 2 weeks. But it's beautiful because you can sort of see in interesting granular ways who's listening. I mean, we have listeners. It blew my mind that, you know, only 33% of our listeners are from the Baltimore metro area. We have listeners all over the country, all around the globe. And so it's just, it's cool to realize, like, all of a sudden you have a brand new audience. And you end up, I mean, at this point, more people listen to us on podcasts than hear us on the radio.
Where will the next Out of the Box episode be coming from?
next week, we're dropping a special sort of audio postcard episode of Out of the Blocks because Wendell and I just went and spent a week in Seoul, South Korea, doing an Out of the Blocks educational unit with middle schoolers and high schools at an international school in Seoul, where we did workshops with them, taught them the how and the why of Out of the Blocks, had them practice interviewing each other. And then there was this international youth media conference where kids from like Korea, China, Dubai, all came together. And we took about 150 of these kids out into different neighborhoods around Seoul for a day to go out with recorders and interview strangers, which kind of blew their minds and ours.
How interesting.
So yeah, we got a little sort of audio postcard of that experience coming up.
Aaron, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Aaron Henkin produces Out of the Blocks, an original WIPR podcast. Wendell Patrick creates musical scores for each program. Aaron will join Sarah Koenig, host and co-creator of the podcast Serial, on stage Friday evening, 8 p.m., at the Maryland Hall for the Creative Arts, 801 Chase Street in Annapolis. The evening is presented in partnership with St. Anne's School of Annapolis, and WIPR is an underwriter. We have more information at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us on the record again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.